Brad Hayes, now, Hillary looks like, according to the polls, that she's going to win. Now the question is, can the Democrats bring in a Democratic Senate and maybe on the cusp, a Democratic House?
So I think, I mean, so I, as you may recall, I've been pretty skeptical about the Democrats' ability to flip the Senate throughout the campaign. However, in the last, you know, 3 weeks, that's turned. And it looks like they will certainly get to a 50-50 split. In other words, they'll pick up four to get to 50. It's a real possibility that they get to 51. I think much beyond that, it would have to be a particularly good night for Democrats. But that means that they will control the Senate, you know, and the House, on the other hand, I think it's really, really unlikely. Right. So political scientists have looked a lot at ways of kind of predicting House elections. And it's hard because, you know, we don't have data for every House race across the country. There are just too many of them. And so we tend to look at kind of the generic poll. So if you just ask in a poll, who do you favor, the Republican or the Democrat in the congressional race, it tells us something. And what those kind of generic polls tell us isn't necessarily who's going to prevail. Right. But it tells us about kind of the levels of support. And one of the things that we know is that we need to see for Democrats right now, in part because of the way in which Democratic populations tend to be compacted into congressional districts, they have to have, you know, a lead of more than six percentage points in the generics in order to have a chance at securing the House. At least that's the way it's been up until now. And it probably the closer we get to 10% advantage, the better off we are. And the generics aren't there. It's, you know, it's more like a 5-point lead right now. And so that suggests that they're not going to do enough to get the House. The House is, quite simply put, you know, gerrymandered to the point that it's almost impossible for Democrats to gain control, let alone to then hold control over a series of elections. So it's extremely difficult. But if they're going to do it, this is the election to do it. You know, I think if it's a particularly bad night for Trump and the Republicans and the House is possible. One of the things that I think has been so interesting in terms of Trump's message is he's talked a bunch about this election being rigged. There's been criticism on that on the right, I think, in terms of, one, it being, you know, a thing that's harmful to Democratic outcomes. But two, you know, more practically, that if you tell people it's rigged, it creates a disincentive to turn out at all. It's like, well, if it's rigged, why should I bother to vote? Right. And so that has down ticket effects. So if, you know, many Trump supporters or, you know, people that are on the fence simply say, well, I'm just not going to vote at all, we get closer to, you know, that 6-7 and beyond percentage points that Democrats are going to need in order to take back the House.
Brad, what about early voting? In my state of Massachusetts, we can early vote. I am going to early vote. My wife has early voted. What does this mean?
So in this particular election, it's a great opportunity for Democrats to minimize the damage. And early voting has tended to favor Republican candidates. One of the interesting things this time is that early indications are the Democrats are doing very well in early voting. Right. And so Democrats tend to outperform Republicans on election day. And so if you can kind of minimize the margin of victory by Republicans in early voting or maybe even win that outright, you're going to have the chance to really have a big victory on election day, which gets us closer to things like Democrats taking the House.
Okay, you're an expert on the Supreme Court. What's at stake here? We have John McCain saying he's not going to vote for any of Hillary's appointments. Now, that's obviously to energize his own race in Arizona, but has this gone too far now?
It certainly has gone too far if you're concerned about the basic functionality of government. Right, that there used to be a norm that, you know, you would at least go to an up or down vote on candidates, and the implications are, you know, long-term stalemate, especially if Democrats don't take back the Senate. keep in mind, this is where the Democratic majority matters, right? You can continue under the Senate rules to filibuster a Supreme Court nominee, unlike lower federal judges. They changed that rule. But you can change the filibuster rule in the Senate to make it a simple majority, right?
The so-called nuclear option?
The nuclear option that was triggered for lower court judges previously. So you cannot filibuster somebody for the federal district court or the U.S. Court of Appeals, but the Supreme Court, they left untouched, right? So this adds a really interesting dynamic that Democrats could then choose to simply say simple majority for confirmation by the Senate. And that would then kind of solve that particular problem. I mean, it changes, you know, the kind of the historic nature. It allows, you know, in the future for kind of more ideologically left or right judges to make it onto the bench. But it would get us back to the point where we could actually appoint people to fill vacancies. So I think this is, you know, one of those areas where Democrats really need to do that, and if for no other reason than to threaten the reform, right? Because if you can threaten that, then maybe in fact people would be willing to allow for an up or down vote.
Do you think McCain really means it?
I am not sure. So his people immediately walked back those comments. So you know, I'm not sure. And of course, he has a reputation of having a kind of a short fuse and saying some things that he regrets.
Hip shooting.
Yeah. So does he really mean it? I don't know. But I think that, you know, that there is an inordinate amount at stake when we think about this particular justice. You can walk down the issues, immigration, health care, gun legislation, civil rights legislation, even the scope of Congressional Commerce Clause authority, which is applicable to regulatory law, criminal law, et cetera. You know, it's really, really important. And so many of those decisions since, you know, the 90s have been 5-4, that, you know, this is a real opportunity for liberals to change the jurisprudence on the court to accommodate their policy preferences.
And last, do you think she, Hillary Clinton, gets elected, that she goes with Garland, the president appointee, or does she get somebody younger who will last for a long time? And we only have a minute.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. She said that Garland's a possibility, but she also said that she'd like a more diverse Supreme Court. So I think it's very much up for grabs. I would say this, though. I think it will be an indication of her governing strategy. I think if the Democrats take the Senate, Merrick Garland is going to appeal more to Republicans who
Absolutely.
Have said favorable things about him in the past. And if, in fact, she is trying to govern from the center, then Merrick Garland might well be her choice. If she, though, wants to push a more kind of progressive, left-oriented agenda.
And younger,
right, absolutely, then, you know, somebody else.
It's always great to talk to our friend Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. Brad, we love having you here. You always teach us so much. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.